Got a lot to get to. It's Selection Sunday Aftermath. The bracket is in front of me. This guy was in studio last night. He joins us again today to make sense of it all. Zach Braziller, New York Post. Zach, first things first, my friend. I can be riding high, right? It's okay that I am like floating on cloud nine coming in to do the show tonight, right?
You know, by the end of last night, you had me convinced they were making it. I looked back at Syracuse's numbers, the 4-2-1 wins, the great non-conference strength of schedule, and I have a boss who's a big Syracuse fan, and I had one of my other coworkers a big Syracuse fan, and I came into the office, at 5 o'clock like I always do on Selection Sunday, and I told them, I think you got a shot at Dayton. I really do. You know, the eye test, they might not have, they're not great, but you know what, the metrics, they're decent, and that's all that matters. And, I guess I was a little surprised, but I was not shocked when I saw Syracuse, especially when you the silly way they do with the alphabetical order, and you see Louisville and Notre Dame aren't in, and you think, I think Syracuse got a good shot here.
That's what I was thinking as well, and you're absolutely right. Via the eye test, Syracuse didn't look as impressive as they did last year, but their numbers are a lot better. Strength of schedule, winning games in neutral sites, winning games on the road. As far as bubble teams, if there's one snub that really maybe rubbed you the wrong way, a Notre Dame, a USC, Oklahoma State, a Louisville, is there one team that jumped out, Zach?
Yeah, USC, clearly. I mean, they finished second in their league. You know, they make the conference title game. You know, they have a lot of good – they have a decent amount of good wins. I was shocked they were not in. I really was. They go through the order. We're like, where's USC? And I was stunned. I mean, they take Arizona State, who's, finishes well below USC. I understand it's not – they don't go by conference. They just go by resume. But, the Pac-12 got no respect. Andy Enfield went off today in a press conference, and deservedly so. I mean, and you look at the way they treated Providence with a 10 seed and Kentucky as a 5 seed. It makes you think they just basically said, we don't care about Championship Week. It's fun. We make all this money off it, but we don't give a damn, which is hard to believe. But that's the message they sent, that the Championship Week just doesn't mean much to them. And clearly it doesn't, because you had USC getting to their final. You had Kentucky and Kentucky winning the SEC. You had Providence getting to the final and nearly upsetting Villanova, and it doesn't look like their seeds changed at all. So that to me is one question I have, is why is Championship Week so insignificant? Why are we playing these games if they don't matter?
Zach, obviously we'll spend a lot of time on these bubble teams. Sometimes you'll find one that makes a run. Other times these teams are out by the first weekend. But teams that are underseeded can really have an impact and can really wreck a bracket. I think about Kentucky a couple of years ago when they were a number 8 seed. They made it all the way to the Monday night of the national championship. Who is the team that has a chance to make serious noise where you said, holy smokes, this team has no business being this low a seed? Is there one that comes to mind?
I think the UCLA St. Bonaventure winner has a real chance to make a run. You know, they would get Florida in the first round, and Florida is such an inconsistent team. If you look at their resume, it's such a hodgepodge. They have some really good wins. They have some horrible losses. It's all about their threes are dropping. I really like the UCLA State Bonaventure winner to be a team that could win a few games in the tournament. There's another team I like, Loyola Chicago. They're an 11th seed. It's a really good team. They're terrific offensively. They have a million weapons. I think that's another team that could really do some damage. Another team is the College of Charleston from the CAA. They're a team that's experienced, that's been through the wars, that's to me, came back from a big deficit in the CAA final. That's another team I could see winning a game or two in the tournament. To me, there are a lot of potential sleepers in this tournament, just because of how balanced college basketball is.
As far as the number one seeds, we talked about this last night. No surprises. UVA, Villanova, Kansas, and Xavier. When you were going through these regions, Zach, which one looks the toughest? Is it the Kansas region because you see blue bloods like Kansas and Duke and Michigan State? Or was it the region that Xavier's in where you see Xavier and Gonzaga and Michigan and UNC? Which profiles is the toughest region of the four?
Now, I think it's close. I think I think you're talking about the Midwest with Kansas and the West with Xavier. I'd probably give the slight edge to the West just because I think Gonzaga's really good. You look at the bottom, you have North Carolina, you have Michigan. You know, you even have a 6 seed like Houston who's very tough. You know, Providence has a 10 seed which just beat Xavier and almost beat Villanova. You know, you even look at Ohio State, who and they had obviously a terrific year. Xavier basically, it's like, congrats, you got the number one seed. Now we're going to give you the toughest region. And even if in the second round, Missouri and, you know, Michael Porter Jr. is not playing, that to me is not a layup. That region is brutal. I think that's the best region. But, you know, the Midwest is very tough, too, when you look at, you know, potential Sweet 16 matchup with Duke, Michigan State, and with Kansas waiting in the wings. But I don't like the 4 and the 5 seed in the Midwest nearly as much as in the West.
We chat with our boy, Zach Braziller, New York Post, getting you ready for the NCAA tournament, the bracket, the field of 68. It is now in front of us. Okay, Zach, as far as teams that are below the 3 line, if there is a serious dark horse to get to the Final Four, or dare I say win a national championship, not a 1, not a 2, not a 3, what team jumps off at the page?
I pick Gonzaga to make the Final Four. I know, you know, people are going to say I'm crazy and look at everything they lost last year, but you got to look at the way this team has played lately. They've been terrific. They've been blowing everyone away. Jonathan Williams, who was on that Final Four team last year, is terrific. They still have Josh Perkins. They have Rui Hachimura, who's a Japanese import who was on the team last year, and he's become a big-time player. Killian Tilly is playing great. I really like Gonzaga. I think they got a break because they get to face Xavier, the worst one seed in the Sweet 16. And then they could get Carolina in a rematch in the national championship in the Elite Eight. I like their size against Carolina, who, as good as they shoot and as good as they are offensively, are not great on the interior as they've been the last few years. So, and if you're going to call it a sleeper at 4, I really, really like Gonzaga.
Zach, I find this fascinating for both Virginia and for Villanova. The way it shakes out, I actually think their game in the Sweet 16 will be a lot more difficult than the game in the Elite Eight. If they're able to get past either Arizona or Kentucky, and on the flip side, if Villanova is able to get past West Virginia or Wichita State, to me, those are going to be the tough games for those two number one seeds, not a Purdue, not a Texas Tech, or not a Cincinnati or a Tennessee. I think the top half of the bracket, that is where Virginia and Villanova could run into trouble.
Yeah, the one thing I will say, I could see Alabama giving Villanova some trouble in the second round if Colin Sexton gets going. That, to me, could get a little scary. You know, Villanova struggled over the years with these second-round games, but I don't disagree. You know, Purdue and Cincinnati as 2 seeds, to me, are worse than a lot of 3 and 4 seeds. You know, I get it. They have a lot of good wins. The metrics are in their favor. But if you watch these teams play, and then you watch the Arizonas, and you watch the Kentuckys, and you watch even the Gonzagas, and some of these other teams that are 3 or 4 seeds, to me, I'd rather play those teams, you know, than have to deal with those 3 or 4 seeds. I picked Arizona to beat UVA. I had a hard time picking UVA to get to a Final Four. You know, I think Arizona's got something going now. Ayton is playing, you know, as good as any big man we've seen over the last few years is playing. I don't think Virginia will have an answer for him. I also think Arizona might get lucky. I could see, I'm not saying it's going to happen, but I could see Davidson really giving Kentucky a tough game. Davidson's very good. They're playing terrific right now. They've won 11 of 13. But I completely agree. I mean, if Virginia or Villanova has the 2 seed in the Elite Eight from their bracket, it's a gimme. Those teams are not big-time teams. I'm sorry, they're not. You look at Cincinnati, they've won a few games over Wichita. They beat Houston. That's it. Xavier mopped the floor with them in November. I you know, to me, Tennessee, I like more to get to the Elite Eight than Cincinnati.
All right, Zach, Seton Hall, you're around the program a bunch. Seton Hall's lost in the NCAA tournament each of the last 2 years. And I look at the matchup, it's not an easy one. Now, they're getting a team that doesn't have a lot of NCAA tournament experience. Kevin Keats has done a phenomenal job with the NC State Wolfpack. Seton Hall's got to win this game, though. I'm sorry. I gave him a pass in the Big East tournament. I've given him a pass each of the last 2 years. They need to show you that they can get past this round of 64, get over this hurdle. It's something they haven't done with Kevin Woard at this program. A lot of pressure on Seton Hall. They open up as like a 1.5 or a 2-point favorite. Your initial reaction to Seton Hall in the 8-9 game against NC State?
I was surprised. I thought they'd be a 7. But, you know, it's a win either way. I thought they'd be a 7 and Nevada would be an 8. But, you know, it's splitting hairs. And here's the other thing. If you're in Seton Hall, wouldn't you rather play Kansas than Duke or North Carolina in the second round? So either way, if you're, you know, they were going to have a very tough game if they weren't fortunate enough to be in the same bracket as Cincinnati or Purdue. It's a very winnable game. Ken Pom likes Seton Hall to win this game. To me, this game boils down to one thing. Can Kadeem Carrington handle the NC State press? Because NC State is not a great defensive team if you beat their pressure. Now, their pressure leads to offense for them when they create turnovers. But if you can handle that pressure, you get a lot of easy shots. Opponents shot above 45% against NC State. Like you said, they're inexperienced in the tournament. They have holes. This is a team that, yes, they beat Arizona, they beat Carolina, they beat Duke. They also lost to UNC Greensboro. They lost to Georgia Tech. They lost some bad teams, and they're actually coming into the tournament slumping a bit. They've lost 2 or 3 while Seton Hall lost the Big East tournament opener to Butler in the last second. Seton Hall's played pretty well lately. They've won 4 of 6. Kevin Willard said today his 2 senior starters who are hurt look okay. Sunogo is basically 100%. Desi Rodriguez is getting there. They expect him to be around 80% for the game. It's a game they have to win. And then you get to the second round and you take your shot at Kansas. But they have to win this game. They should have won last year's game. I thought they would win last year's game. They blew an 8-point lead in the final 8 minutes against Arkansas. This is a game. This is their legacy this season. They have to win a game in the tournament. Or what's been a very enjoyable and fun 4 years will kind of be looked at maybe not quite as fondly as it should be.
Zach Braziller of the New York Post. All right, Zach, now it's time to put you on record before we say goodbye. Last night, I didn't ask you for your Final Four because we didn't have a bracket in front of us. Now that we do, what is the Zach Braziller Final Four that I'm going to see in Monday's New York Post?
You know, I told you I picked Gonzaga. I really liked him in Xavier in the Sweet 16. I think they'll get by Carolina in the Elite Eight. In the Midwest, you know, it's a tricky bracket. It wasn't an easy selection, but I went with Michigan State. I just think they have too much talent. I think they're going to get by Duke in what should be just an absolutely terrific Sweet 16. Izzo, I think, is going to figure it out. I think these 2 weeks he's going to end up using what's been 2 weeks well. You know, you look at it, they got the lottery picks. They have tremendous guard play. They have depth. They have talent. To me, it's just they're too good not to put it all together. I think Kansas loses yet another Elite Eight game. We see it all the time. They breeze through the Big 12 and they stub their toe in the tournament. And so I like Michigan State. I like Gonzaga. I told you I like Arizona. And then in the East, what a cakewalk for Villanova. I mean, were they done us? What a huge favor they were done. I mean, we talked about their toughest game might be the Sweet 16. I don't even think that's going to be that tough. I think Alabama will give them a tougher game than Wichita or West Virginia will give them. Wichita has been so inconsistent against good teams. They've lost a few to Cincinnati. They lost to Houston. West Virginia has been up and down as well, and I don't think that style works against Villanova. I don't think you could press Villanova. Villanova's going to hammer you if you press them. It's going to lead to one open three after another. You know, I don't think they get Purdue. I think Butler's going to beat Purdue in the second round. I think they get Texas Tech, and I don't think Texas Tech can handle their 4 out. As good as Texas Tech is defensively, as deep as they are, I don't think they can match up personnel-wise with Villanova. I think Villanova's getting scared in the second round, and then they're cruising the following weekend. And I think we're going to get it. So we get Villanova, Michigan State, and we get Gonzaga. We get Gonzaga, Arizona, and I think we're looking at a Villanova-Arizona title game. And like I said last night, I think Villanova wins it all. I think they're that good offensively. I think they have a future NBA star, Mikal Bridges. Jalen Brunson is the National Player of the Year. And to me, this tournament is just set up for Villanova. If you look at that region, it's so by far the worst region of the four. It's not even close.
The outstanding Zach Braziller, the columnist in the New York Post covering all things college hoops. He gives us great perspective throughout February into March, and he'll be joining us quite a bit throughout the NCAA tournament. Zach, great stuff. Good luck to your bracket. And I'm telling you, use Vegas, my friend, as your guide.
I will talk to you later, JJ.
Zach, a pleasure. Good stuff there. Zach Braziller giving us the ins and outs of the bracket from a college hoops insider's perspective. Going to try and fill mine out. It's never an easy thing to do, but what a wonderful, wonderful time of the year.